Good morning. It's the 30th of January. Our first reading for the day is Exodus 1 and 2. I'm going to read to you from Brother Dudley Fifield's book, Glimpses of Glory. I read, "When Moses was 40 years of age, it came into his heart to visit his people. It is important to appreciate that this was no casual visit, but it was a deliberate choice made, not by an impetuous youth, but by a mature man who publicly expressed his intention to be associated with his oppressed and downtrodden people. In effect, he went and lived amongst them." So we read in Hebrews 11, "By faith Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible." Note the words, "choosing to suffer affliction," the reproach of Christ, not fearing the wrath of the king, and he endured. Moses turned his back on all that Egypt had to offer. He refused to accept the royal patronage that would have secured for him all the riches and honour the world could give. Instead, he chose to live amongst his people and share their affliction. We can appreciate how this behaviour would have mystified the Egyptians and then outraged them. They would regard him as having brought disgrace on the royal house, and Pharaoh's anger must have burned hot against him. No doubt it was only his former eminence in the royal court that prevented them from taking more decisive action. He had respect unto the recompense of the reward. Or, as the RSV renders it, he looked to the reward. The Greek term conveys the idea to look away or to turn one's attention from everything that might distract and to fix the gaze on one thing alone. Moses endured, seeing beyond the present material things of that world to the eternal things associated with God's kingdom, ever aware of the reality of the invisible God. All this he did with a conviction that by his hand God would deliver his people, and that his training in the royal household had fitted him for this task. Thus, when Moses saw an Egyptian assaulting one of his brethren and slew him, he felt that his action would have acted as a rallying call to the men of Israel to accept him as leader and to rise up against their oppressors. His attempt to arbitrate between the two Israelites who fought with each other convinced him that this was not to be. "Who made thee a prince and a judge over us?" was the taunt that was flung at him. And now Moses was forced to flee, for Pharaoh sought to kill him. A common citizen would surely have been summarily executed, but Moses remained a prince of the royal house, and even at this juncture, Pharaoh had to seek a suitable way to rid himself of this troublesome fellow. The lesson, however, is clear. This people would not be delivered by human might and ability. It would be in God's time and by God's hand. Israel was not ready to be delivered, and Moses had not yet been fitted for the task. Many years were to pass before the divine training prepared him for the work, and, perhaps puzzled and perplexed, he came into the land of Midian to await the call to rise up and return to Egypt. Thank you for listening.